This is Cat Chat with Tracy Hotchner on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112.
My best friend has fuzzy hair. My best friend walks with his hands in the air. My best friend makes me feel full as the moon.
Welcome to Cat Chat. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of the Cat Bible and the author of the Dog Bible, with all the answers to any dog and cat questions you can possibly have. I'm your kitty cat's best friend, your dog's best friend, and I know I have tons of friends amongst you guys. Now, if you're busy cutting paper and getting your fingers stuck with scotch tape and wrapping the gifts and suddenly doing the tree, I have to tell you, my tree's been done for a week. I'm very pleased about that. And you think you might have a question to ask me, next week there's no Martha Stewart Living Radio. Everybody's going to be gone. So this is the last show of 2010. So I'm hoping that I get some really great thoughts, questions, comments, any things you've been thinking about during this past year that you meant to ask me or you meant to comment on, whether it has to do with your own pets or other people's pets or what's going on in this country with, you know, all the issues, whether it's rescue versus adoption and the whole factory farming thing that I've been doing a lot of interviews about and thinking about, and how we really need to try to not buy the meat that's factory farmed. So anyway, this is the number, 866-675-6675. Give a call, even while I'm talking to my guest who has a really great topic that is something you definitely need to think about for 2011. You can call and be on hold and hear what we're talking about even while you're waiting. So take a break from the wrapping and the decorating. Sit back, stroke your doggy or your kitty, and place a call, 866-675-6675. My guest tonight is Barry Seltzer, who's an estate planning lawyer, who's written a really excellent, worrisome book called Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, How to Leave Some of Your Estate to Your Pet. Everything you need to know to protect your pet if you become sick or die. Now, this may come as a big shock to you. We are all going to die. Mm-hmm. Some of you, like me, have mini donkeys. They live to 40. I hate to tell you what age I am. They're going to outlive me. Mario Bosquez has African gray parrots. They live to 80. What's going to happen to those pets? And what if even any of us at a fairly young age have a dog or cat that we don't think will live more than 12 to 20 years? We could wind up in the hospital. God forbid, but it could happen. What plans have you made? Who are the people that are going to be next in line to take care of that pet if you should die unexpectedly, or as I pointed out, expectedly? You got to make a plan, and this book has some of the best advice, really down to the meat and potatoes, how to figure it out. Barry Seltzer, welcome to Cat Chat.
I love your book, Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs, and I'm hoping you will sort of off the top of your head talk about what you think some of the most important things are for people to wrap their minds around when they're planning for the future without, if their pets outlive them.
Well, I think, and firstly, hi, Tracy, and thank you. The New Year's probably the best time to start making arrangements to safeguard your pet's future. And it's one of the things that people fail to do, unfortunately, for both their pets and for their family.
And That's absolutely right. Do you think it's because people are in denial? They just can't bear thinking about the unthinkable, as it were?
You know what? There's so many reasons. I mean, Pablo Picasso indicated that the reason he didn't put a will in place was he thought it would hasten his death. You know, how old can you go?
Wow.
So, you know, everybody has a different reason. You know, but it's amazing. I mean, you know, not only are there, you know, the normal pets, you know, that I call, you know, in quotation marks, you know, cats and dogs, you know, creatures that we adore, you know, but people actually, you know, in the United States, apparently there's, you know, approximately 6,000 to 7,000 tigers that are privately held, which is greater than the number of tigers in the wild in Asia, which is estimated at 5,000 tigers. So, you know, people...
Really? Oh, my gosh. That is a great statistic.
It's unbelievable. You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, planning for exotic pets, you mentioned parrots, and the parrots live really a long time. And,
yep.
You know, how do you choose a caregiver for a parrot when the caregiver has yet to be born? I mean,
That's a very good point, because you can't say to your... My father, by the way, is 93. I think he's pretty hostile that he has an African gray parrot that he's only had for about 10 years. someone's going to be stuck with that damn cranky Ernie for like 70 years.
So how do you spell Ernie, Tracy?
Well, yep, named after Ernest Hemingway, and guess what? It's a girl. So he doesn't find that out till later. But it's a serious problem. I mean, even if anybody is 58 and you get a puppy, even if you get a six-year-old cat, I mean, the cat could live 12 years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's all very well to think, you know what, my Aunt Sally always loved the cat. You know, your Aunt Sally might have hated your cat and just been being polite. And even if she loved your cat, maybe Aunt Sally is dead by the time you're dead or lives someplace where she can't have a cat. I mean, the great thing about this book, and it's linked on my website, guys, so you go to thecatbible.com and Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs is on there. Even if you don't want to think about this, when you read it, you'll realize I owe it to my human family and my pet family. I've really got a plan. Barry, what are some of the, like, really big issues? There's always the money issue. What does it cost to keep that pet?
Well, there, you can certainly calculate it. I mean, when you're looking at that, you know, you can estimate the number of years your pet will live, the cost of food, you know, vet bills, checkups, you know, special attention or medicine that your you know, cat might need, antihistamines, steroids, liver oils, you know. Some animals have allergies, you know, other special needs, boarding. I mean, the list can go on and on, and certainly you can project out. And then you got to decide, do you want your caregiver to be, you know, in receipt of funds for the work that they're going to do and the time that they're going to spend? You know, are you going to buy health insurance, you know, for your pet, which becomes a big issue? Because interestingly, when vets end up having a pet delivered, either through animal care services or you know, a CPD or whoever will be delivering the pet, they will do a minimal amount if there's no tag indicating that the pet has health care coverage, but sometimes by the time they find the owner, a lot of stuff can't get done, and unfortunately the cat will perish. So, you know, do you want to put, you know, give the ability to the caregivers that you're choosing and the alternate caregivers to have a sum of money to cover health care, to have a sum of money to cover burial? And then you have to decide, you know, what type of burial do you want for your pet? And do you want a memorial, or do you want to, you know, have the pet cremated or buried in a cemetery or memorialized in some other way online? So these are all...
Of course, not being Egyptian or Etruscan, we can't say, and please open up my coffin and stick Fifi in there when she goes, I want to go to heaven with her, because that's not really an option.
No, but although
you know, it's all very well as to say, you know, you got to think about these things, but then you have to have, and the book is very clear about how to start these discussions with people. People go, oh, you'll be fine. Don't discuss something depressing. You know what's more depressing than not discussing what if I die and what about the dog? Is imagining that that dog could wind up in animal care and control.
Which is
your most beloved dog or cat. It happens all the time, right, Barry?
Very much so. And in fact, one of the big pushes for us and the important aspect of why we did this is to in some way encourage people to make plans so a lot of these cats and dogs do not end up euthanized and you know, end up orphans. So it's important for people to realize that they have a responsibility, and when they take an animal into their care, it's just like a child. You have to make sure that you provide, you know, and plan for them. And it's not expensive, and there are a lot of different ways of doing it and a lot of choices, but we think the most common mistake people make is they make assumptions. A friend or relative will automatically take their pet if they die. Very often, no one steps in. And if you haven't made provisions, you know, that well-meaning friend or emergency service person may trundle your pets off to the pound. In fact, people may not even know you have a pet. And even if you do make a will, and if you do put provisions in the will may not get read quickly enough for people to even be aware that there is a pet. So you have to make provisions between those time periods also, and they're important time periods. You know,
let's say you're in an accident. Let's say we're talking about young-ish people. So you're not dying of old age, but you're in some awful accident, and maybe you live and maybe you die. But you're saying that you need to have a primary person in your life. If you don't have a live-in spouse or partner, or a family member you're actually talking to, then somebody who would be close enough to you and well aware enough of your lifestyle to know, they're in really bad trouble, and I'm the one who has agreed to go get the boa constrictor or the cat or the parrot in the meantime, right?
Yes, and a card in the wallet, information posted, the ability for someone to have the right to enter your living accommodation.
Oh, right.
The knowledge of what type of pets are there, because, you know, a lot of pets, you know, a boa constrictor isn't going to be sitting there waiting for you to come in, you know, unless it's in a, you know, an aquarium in some spot in the house, and it may not be that visible, it may not be easy to find, and people aren't going to know because it's not going to be making a lot of noise saying, hey, I'm over here, come get me.
I need my mouse for the week, or my rat for the week, depending on how big the boa constrictor is. What I love is that the book is very concrete. So it says you need to do this stuff, but then it gives you a chart and a graph and a list of the questions to ask someone, because, you know, we'd like to think that people who love us appreciate our love for our pets, and would, and in the case of our severe illness or death, would actually, you know, I don't know, continue things in the same way we had them, but it's just not the case. If they're not animal people, then those people aren't the ones that you need to bequeath the pet to, and the cost is not insignificant, and yet people don't sort of consider that either. And then there's the issue which you bring up about a trust, and what if somebody gets taxed on it? I mean, it becomes all complex, right?
It does, and certainly if they're using the funds for their benefit. I mean, you're not going to get a tax reduction or charitable gifting reduction setting up a trust, and there are different types of trust. You have traditional trusts where an individual is appointed and the funds are settled on the trust, and you can have a trust while you're living, which is more expensive, and or a trust in a will, and then you can have, you know, a trust that's not a traditional trust that, you know, is as a result of the changes in legislation. You have 43 states that allow them, and the District of Columbia currently, but then there are the remaining states that don't allow it, and under the Uniform Probate Code and you know, the other relative legislation where provisions are made in the will, it will fill in the blanks, but it's not as good as if you do it yourself and plan it in detail. Unfortunately, though, it's, you know, more expensive when you're using a lawyer to set these things up, and very formal, but there are other ways of doing things which are less formal. In fact, there's a very good lawyer in the United States. She's practicing out of New York and actually wrote a book as well, and she came up with something called a pet protection agreement, which is essentially a contract between individuals while you're alive where you have similar types of provisions, but the contract will survive your death and allow for those individuals that you've chosen to take care of the pet. So there are choices and some easier, simpler, or more informal ways of doing things. You have a whole list of things, but the important thing to do is really, when you're going in and doing planning, if you're going in to do estate planning, canvas the information and choices that are available with the lawyer that you're dealing with, the attorney, and quite frankly, you're able to see what you can do and what you can afford. And there are a lot of alternatives.
I think one of the things, to interrupt you, Barry, is that a lot of lawyers are not at all familiar with many of the topics you bring up in Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. They either aren't pet-oriented themselves, so it's never even crossed their mind. So they don't know that state's laws and statutes about whether you can have a trust or what kind of a trust and what the wording should be. I really think that regardless of where someone lives and no matter how costly and clever a lawyer you might have, I would still say that we, like so many things about our pets, need to take responsibility ourselves and read this book first, even if you do get it together to go do a will, which I can't recommend highly enough to people having, you know, come from a family where my mother died and didn't leave one or didn't change the one she had. It's a mess. So you don't want to leave your pets in that position. A lot of people are leaving their human children in that position. But with pets, it's really tricky. So I think you really need, what I really think you need to do is look at this book, think about it. It kind of freaks you out, not because you're worried about dying, but because you realize how much can go wrong and how much these pets really matter to you, you know? And I think that it gives you the tools to plan ahead for things you forget to consider.
I agree with you, and I mean, I'm sorry to say that, you know, it's like self-praise is no recommendation, but we try to be really comprehensive, and our claim was that the book would cover everything you need to know to protect your pet, and we hope that it wasn't an idle boast. I mean, we devoted chapters to future care of exotic and illegal pets, or, you know, chapters relating to calculating how much you would need for your pet, the choices, and certainly the hurdles and issues, but I'm happy to tell tell you that there are over 100 universities currently teaching pet law in the United States. And and most bar associations have a pet division, usually in their property, real property, and the estate planning section, and the American Bar Association. So it's becoming more in vogue. You're right, a lot of lawyers maybe turn their nose up or look at it and think, oh, this is silly, but there are many that don't. And quite frankly, more and more attorneys are finding this is an important aspect. And if you're doing planning for somebody, you have to ask them, you know, do you have pets? That's part of the property, and they're still considered in most jurisdictions property, although that's changing too in terms of perception. But I agree with you. So a good starting point is to get the material that's available, read it, understand it. It's written in an easy-to-read manner, and hopefully it'll provide you with information to allow you to take it to the next step and put a plan in place.
And then when you go jogging in traffic, you don't have to ever worry, well, what'll happen to Fifi if, you know, the worst happens? We don't want the worst to happen to you, but we want to make sure that the rest of your family, as well as your animals, are all sort of, all the ducks are in a row. So, Barry, it's a great book. People can get it linked off of my website, Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. Not a depressing topic, guys. Much more depressing to think of what would happen if you didn't sort things out. So thank you so much for all the trouble and work that you put into the book. It is entirely readable, actually enjoyable, lots of interesting facts and information in it. So thank you so much.
And thank you for being so kind and saying so. I appreciate it, and I hope it helps people.
It's a pleasure. I hope it does, too. You have a great holiday, Barry.
Have a happy New Year and a healthy holiday, too.
Take care.
You too,
Bye
Tracy.
Now.
Thank you very much.
All right, guys, here's the telephone number. Now, if you have any questions about wills and trusts in your pets, this is, I'm no expert, but I have read this book really carefully, and interviewing him, I'm sort of aware of some of these topics, so please don't hesitate to call and ask. It doesn't have to cost you a lot of money to do this, by the way. You can practically draw up some stuff.
Thanks, Barry. Good job.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.